me in the studio is Jessica Major, author of The Silent Hours. She's also a house mistress at Bradfield College and a new mom. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How new a mom are you?
Well, he is 12 weeks today, and he's currently sleeping next door.
Yeah, Auntie Audrey's looking after him.
Auntie Audrey, she's promising me that, yeah, he's going to be fine.
She's such a versatile producer. She has grown-up children. They seem fine.
So yes, exactly.
I wouldn't worry if I were.
She did airily just leave the room to make me tea. I thought, that's the kind of babysitter you want.
It's all right. One of our other colleagues is in there at the moment, funnily enough. And he's going to be a dad very soon. Or is he a dad already? I can't remember. Anyway, also with us today is Claire Flynn from Kintbury, whose novels include The Green Ribbons, although not actually physically with us today. Where are you, Claire?
I'm in Brighton.
Ah, what's taken you to lovely Brighton?
To talk to you, actually. No,
what?
I'm here. I'm actually talking to your colleagues at Radio Sussex shortly.
Oh, right.
So,
I'm in
the studio here at the BBC, BBC Sussex. So
right.
Would it
not have been easier to have done us from here and then from here?
No, because I'm in, actually, if you might have forgotten, Bill, I've moved to Eastbourne now.
Oh,
so,
of course you have. That's
yes.
Right. You're sort of only local in the sense that you used to be local. But I'm
That's
glad you're
right.
Sticking. Does this mean you will stay with us then every now and then, even though you're not physically with us anymore?
Well, I can do. I'd certainly be delighted to if you're happy to have me.
I think we'd rather have you by remote control than not have you at all, Claire Flynn. So that would be very, very splendid.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, we'll come on to what you're up to in a moment, but can I just ask you a little bit, you may have done this with my predecessors, I don't know, Jessica, more than once, but I'm intrigued to know, in this day and age, what a house mistress, really, it sounds like something out of a boarding school novel I might have read 50 years ago.
It is a very Enid Blyton role.
Yeah.
It is basically what it says on the tin, so I live in a house next door to 64 teenage girls. yeah, exactly, this is a lot of drama. A lot of emotion, and essentially, yeah, look after their pastoral well-being. So you look after academics, and you chat with their parents, and obviously help them through school. And it's a really, really, really rewarding job.
Wow! And are you alone, house mistress 264?
I am indeed alone. Oh. Yes, I mean, obviously, I do have a husband, but you know, he shows a passing interest.
But it's not his gig.
It's not his gig. It is only mine.
Is it really possible to look after that many to any meaningful degree?
Oh, I hope so. Yes,
yeah.
I think so. I mean, obviously, some are very unfussed by you. Others want to talk to you all the time. But you do have an enormous team of support as well. So you've got matrons and you've got tutors. So everyone,
right.
you're overseeing a lot of people looking after the same children, and hoping that you're coordinating everyone. And,
yeah.
You know, things will crop up and you obviously spend a lot of time with certain people and
yeah.
less time with others.
What crops up most, or what is most time consuming when it crops up?
Oh, you know, what you'd normally expect from teenagers. So a lot of it is big panics, which you can hopefully help them resolve.
Well,
you know, exam stress, anxiety, something going on at home.
Fallouts with other girls?
Oh, fallouts with other girls, fallouts with boys.
Yeah.
Normally fallouts with girls over boys, you know. lots of very small things that, as I said, perhaps they wouldn't even think about in a month or a year or whatever, but at the time seem hugely, you know,
yes.
important, which they are. So, you know, you do a lot of that, and then just, you know, other things like academic stuff where, you know, they've bunked off or they haven't handed in work, or, you know.
Will they generally come to you with a major concern, or do you have to spot when one of them's not behaving like she normally would?
Yeah, so you sort of look out for it, and you obviously ask for constant feedback from people that are seeing them regularly. Obviously, sometimes I'm bad cop, so they don't want to talk to me about stuff, so that's why it's really important you have tutors that they can, so you just know that somewhere that, you know, they are talking to somebody. It works really well. It's a really nice system. But like you said, it's got this hilarious image, a very old-fashioned image.
We just, you see, Anne Diamond assumed that you'd be A, old, and B, a spinster. Isn't that awful? But I had great sympathy with her, because we think a postman will be a certain type of person, and we think,
yeah,
probably
think
a radio
it.
Presenter will be a certain type
well,
of person.
Well, I'm certainly not even the youngest in the job, and I think that's great. I think Bradfield have done a really good job of promoting lots of different people, so no, it's good fun.
And how did you get into this? Why are you doing it?
Well, I was a history teacher writing books, and I knew I wanted to stay in teaching, but I really enjoyed the pastoral side of things, so that's how I got into it.
Right, okay, and you don't miss the pure academic side
no,
too much?
No, I don't. I love the balance of working with the pupils, but also writing books in the day. I'm really, really lucky, so yeah, it's quite an ideal job.
Claire Flynn, you see, also has more than one iron in the fire. She was a global marketing director and she still runs a strategic management company. And I know you've told me before what that means, Claire, but just in a couple of sentences for people joining us now and indeed to refresh me, what does that really mean?
It means helping companies to be and their staff to be more creative and to build a more creative and innovative culture.
Right.
I also help them figure out what their marketing strategy should be and what direction they should take their business in going forward.
Golly. Can you give us an example of that? I mean, it sounds wonderfully high powered, but it's sort of hard to get a label on it without a concrete example.
My last client was actually a company that moved oils and gases and chemicals all around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So from China, everywhere from Widnes to China.
Oh, it's a far cry from distressed teenagers, Cheska, isn't it?
It's a different world.
My word.
Yes, I think although sometimes my clients behaved like distressed teenagers, it's probably not that different.
And what would you say to them that would enable them to do something like that better then?
Well, I would help them figure out what their choices are and then help them make those choices informed on the basis of really understanding the markets they operated in and what their customers wanted, etc.
And don't they know more about those markets than you do, working in nothing but that, whereas you're looking at different, right? So
yes,
why do they need you to tell
they
them?
Know lots more about the detail, but what I can do is come in with a sort of helicopter vision and ask the sort of dumb questions that perhaps they hadn't thought of themselves.
Yes.
That makes them look at the business in a different way.
Right, okay. So even I might be half good at it then, just on the fact that I don't do it.
I'm sure you would. I think you're the sort of person that's asking people questions all the time.
That's true.
And
asking questions
makes
time. I had a second string to my bow, clearly, yeah.
Maybe we could partner, Bill.
Maybe we could. Maybe when I'm not available, we do a few shifts here. Just to be fair. So both of you then, you know, really successful, great reputation, selling books. Why, Cheska, are you not just a novelist now?
Well, I suppose it sounds odd, but when I was just writing and I was actually a freelance TV presenter, I found that my output got less because I suppose I just lacked motivation. Whereas when you have to sort of get writing in around other things, I find that actually I'm far more productive. Also, frankly, you're living. So you're actually getting out there, you're doing things, you're dealing with people, and you're constantly thinking of ideas. And it, for me, working alongside writing works brilliantly.
Right.
So I'll always have another role. I mean, obviously financially as well.
Well, I'm sure that does help. But
yeah.
What about you, Claire? It wouldn't be a financial imperative for you, would it?
No, but I am winding the other work down
these days. Right.
Yes, I want to focus 100% on
writing. You want to be a full-time writer?
Yes.
But all those life experiences you won't have now that Cheska's just mentioned, what are you going to put on the page?
I think I've got so many years of life experience.
That's all right then.
I'm obviously seriously younger than Cheska is, so yes,
I think you meant
already
that.
Got
you mean,
it.
You mean the other way around, don't you, I think?
Sorry, older, yes, gosh, yes.
You should see her face. No, I'm joking. Right. We will pause. We will come back and do some recommendations for good summer reading on the other side of Charles and Eddie.